Welcome back.
This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. When Kodak filed for Chapter 11 last week, it appeared that digital photography had at last put the lens cap on old-school film. Maybe not. Consider Polaroid. After ceasing production of its iconic Instamatic film in 2009, a group of devoted shutterbugs launched the Impossible Project. They took control of the company's manufacturing equipment and in March of 2012 began selling film. The mass market for film has dwindled in the digital age, but renewed interest in the tangible, nostalgic qualities of old formats may keep shutterbugs snapping film for years to come. Jake Bouchard is among the swelling community of film devotees. He's a photographer and a developer at Photosmith in Dover, which also runs online services at 120processing.com and oldschoolphotolab.com. Jake, so glad you could come in.
Thank you for having me.
We should clarify first. Now, what do we mean when we talk about old school film? Is that 35 millimeter?
Well, it encompasses a lot of different sizes. We actually, at the lab, we processed all these films that people thought were gone almost. But we do 120 film, which is called like medium format film. And we actually do the old, you know, if you remember like the 110 film or 126 people. I had one customer call it the binocular film the other day, but we do all that kind of stuff. So it's there's still people making it and there's still people selling it and there's still all kinds of people shooting it. So
these people, they buy film, load it in their camera, take pictures, get it processed or process it themselves. It's like it used to be.
Yep, exactly. I mean, there's people doing the whole range. You know, we've got people using plastic toy cameras and then people using, you know, cameras that used to cost $5,000, like old Nikons and that kind of stuff. And there are people doing it at home, people doing old school processes themselves. And then there's people like us who are kind of in the middle ground doing film developing and scanning and printing still. So,
well, of course, in the digital age, there are plenty of ways to do this. There's this wildly popular app called Instagram that many, many people have on their iPhones or their iPads. This allows you to doctor photos to look old, like, you know, sepia tinted as well as, you know, 60s Technicolor, that kind of 1970s washed out beige, even some that look like a Polaroid. So is this helping or hurting the old film buff cause?
It's actually, in some ways, I think it's really helping because it introduces people to that look. And then there are people who say, that's really cool. You know, how do I get that in real life? And there, so that's why people are moving into doing the Polaroid, and the Impossible Project is really nice that way. But using like the toy cameras and that kind of stuff, you get that same look that those apps are emulating. It's really interesting. You know, people find out through the app and then decide to explore it in real life.
So could a viewer tell the difference between, you know, something that was taken by a Polaroid and something on Instagram with Polaroid kind of filters?
I can.
discerning eye could do that.
There are people, you know, a lot of times you can tell right away. You know, if you know it at all, it's like, oh, that's Instagram. And I actually had a conversation on Twitter this morning with somebody about every time I look at a photo, I think, was that shot on film or digital? Is it bad that I think less of it if I find out it's a digital photograph?
Well, that's what I'm interested in. I mean, is there to you less value in something that, or let's say more value in something that was actually came from a negative, you know, gelatin film developed? Does the process, in a sense, make it more valuable?
In a way, you know, it's because if you're shooting digital, if you're shooting with your cell phone, you can take 100 photos, you can take 20 photos in a matter of minutes. When you're shooting film, you only have 12 exposures or 24 exposures, and it costs you money. So you really have to think about it. And if you get that film processed and you keep that film in a good way, 100 years from now, no matter what's happened to society, you couldn't pass light through that negative onto sensitive paper and make a print. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows what's going to happen to your digital memory card, or in 10 years if you'll still be able to read that digital file. If you have something substantial, then that memory is still there. And so there is more value because of the deliberate aspect to it. You know, you have to think, this one picture I'm taking, and it's costing me money, and I only have 10 more after this, so I have to really think about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm old enough to know what that was like. You know, that we really had to think about the photographs that we took, and they were sort of precious in a way. Are there other examples, though, like the Polaroid case, of devoted photographers taking over where manufacturers no longer find profits?
Well, one of the great examples in the past few years is a company called Ilford, where they had a lot of trouble, and their employees actually bought out the the manufacturing, and now Ilford is still a company. It's still happening, and there are actually some boutique film manufacturers that are making like short runs of really kind of odd films, like that have scratches on them or mm-hmm. are already fogged in some way. I really think that no matter what happens in the world, there are always going to be people who want it and will continue to help it be made.
We're talking with Jake Bouchard. He's an old school film buff, and he's also a photographer and developer at Photosmith Labs in Dover. Well, it was so fascinating to look at. You sent us a bunch of links before this interview, some of the choices online. There's this growing international community of people posting pictures and films, you know, made with old cameras from Berlin, Barcelona, Beirut. Quite amazing. And we do have links to some at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, there is also a culture of the LOMO, a very fervent following. What is the lure of the LOMO?
There's actually, you know, it started kind of in the 90s. There's this group of people that found all these old cameras that were coming out of Russia in the Czech Republic, and they started taking pictures of them, and they were getting these funky looks and kind of interesting things, and then they started doing some experimentation with different kinds of processing, and so it has very much that Instagram or hipstamatic look, but there's a whole society almost that's built up around this LOMOgraphy or the LOMO culture.
What does it give you? You know, what makes a LOMO picture special?
It's, you know, there's a thing that they say that's, you know, you embrace the odd things that happen. You know, it's about the uniqueness of it. You know, every picture is completely different. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not a LOMOgrapher, if you're a real photographer, every photograph that you take is going to be unique in some way. There's always some variable in processing or some variable in exposure that you really never know what you're going to get until you get it back. So there's this anticipation, there's a delayed gratification that we don't get a lot in our culture. And that's part of what people who are into film photography or people into LOMOgraphy, that they really, that's one of the big pushes there.
So it's a nostalgia for the experience.
Yeah, in a way, you know, it is. And there are, but it's funny because there are people who are in their late teens, early 20s, even younger that are doing this. But then I also know people that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s that shoot films mm-hmm. still. They never left. Mm. And there are people who are coming back. And in addition to that, there are all kinds of forums. Like there's a guy in New Hampshire that started a website called believeinfilm.com.
I saw that. It was terrific. Yeah. But a lot of really practical tips, you know, mm-hmm. Keeping abreast of news that was going on, you know, like Kodak selling a gelatin company, but also a lot of great practical tips. Well, you were kind enough to send us a camera to get this kind of experience. A Holga uses medium format film, and a couple of our NHPR staffers took some shots. Now, you brought us the prints, which we're going to look at here for the first time while we're on the air, and we're going to have to get them posted very quickly. What we've got here, they're so fantastic. They're first of all, they're like, what, 4x4?
It's a 5x5.
5x5. I'm not very good at those kind of things.
It's the classic. A square format print size was a 5x5.
But they look like the pictures, you know, that my old family albums or something. You know, there's a little bit of blurriness, a little bit of sort of light peeking in, a little bit of low grain quality. But there is something absolutely beautiful about them.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's like he's got one picture on there that's like a sunset through the trees.
Yes.
And it's blurry and it's shaky, but there's something really beautiful about it. And it's the kind of thing that if you'd taken it with a digital camera and you knew what you were going to get, and the first one was shaky, you would have deleted that one, you know, and now it's there forever. You can keep that negative, and you can make an enlargement. You could, you know, it's almost art, you know, in a way.
But it's not perfect.
No, but it's the accidental art, you know.
Yep. Well, how do you keep people interested after they pay $9 to develop a roll of film, you know, when only a couple of shots work out?
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's the kind of thing where I actually, after Taylor had this experience, I put a conversation up on our Facebook wall, and I said, what do you guys say to people who've had this kind of problem? And I asked it on Twitter as well, and a lot of people say, just keep trying, keep believing, keep experimenting, because you never know what you're going to get next time. It's almost like there's a faith aspect mm-hmm. to it, you know, and there are people who it's just that happenstance. You got to keep trying, and you have to keep keep going. There's a perseverance to it.
Okay, Taylor Quimby, believe you will be a great photographer yet. But it is interesting that the digital pathway for this old technology, you know, is very important to it. Like, a modern film movement couldn't really exist in the same way without the internet, without a place for people to upload their photos and look at them from all over the world, or even, you know, Photoshop to make Lomographs stand up next to digital.
Yeah, and that's true. It's like, right now I know that I believe I have a customer in Latvia and a customer in Sweden listening to this as we talk. And you know, I talked to the guy from Singapore this morning, and none of these people would have connected. And if Photosmith hadn't reached out to this community, we you know, it's possible that we might not have been able to stay in business for another year. But because we're still doing film and we're still helping people make memories, we're able to stay a viable business because we've reached out to these people, you know.
What about when this isn't trendy anymore? I mean, it sort of reminds me of, you know, reverting to vinyl records or even the 8-track. You know, when this community of popularity isn't surrounding it anymore, what happens to the format?
You know, it's... I think about that a lot, and it's kind of like anything else. You know, it's like, you know, even listening to public radio, you hear people, like, I know later on the show, there's going to be a guy who makes his living from typewriters.
Yeah.
And it's really the same kind of thing. It's I really think that there's always going to be an interest in it. And you see the age range of the people who are doing it. And it gives you a lot of hope because there are these younger kids who are doing it. And we have a guy at the lab who's 18, and he's passionate about film photography. And it's just, it keeps going, and I really hope people keep doing it, even beyond the trendy aspect of it.
Well, all right. Thank you so much. You've infected me with some hope today.
Thank you so much.
Jake Bouchard, a photographer and developer at Photosmith Labs in Dover, which also runs online services at 120processing.com and oldschoolphotolabs.com. Now, you can check out Word of Mouth's Old School Film Experiment at wordofmouthradio.org. We've also posted some links to this just fabulous array of websites like Lomography.com, The Impossible Project, and much, much more on the community of old school shutterbugs. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, coming up, another medium made obsolete in the eyes of technocrats, the typewriter, when Word of Mouth continues in just a minute. This is NHPR.